Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here with us tonight, and I want to remind you of our call-in number. It's 323-203-0815. Call in, and if you do call in and you don't get through right away, our wonderful Ronan, who is running our switchboard tonight, we'll call you back. So if you get a call from a number you don't recognize, it's us. Answer, please. Thank you. Dr. Allen, you are on the air live.
I'm grateful. Grateful.
How have you been this week? Has it been a good week for you?
It's been a very busy but miraculous week. I managed to make and keep my own agreements, and that's always good. So I was very pleased.
Oh, that's awesome. Speaking of that, we have our Monday and Wednesday night show coming up for February. So everybody, if you want to run to our website and take a look, you'll find out when and where it's going to be, www.drpatallen.com or wantistore.com to get that information. Where we're going to be. We're going to be in, of course, Culver City and Orange County, but you'll get the address and all the particulars and the date there. Also, sign up for our newsletter while you're there, because you'll get all this information right in your inbox, which is fabulous. So, Dr. Allen, it looks to me like we have a call coming in, which is awesome. Yeah, which is awesome. Our switchboard is working on it right now, getting our caller brought in. So, in the meantime, everybody, we want you to know that the seminars, you can sign up for the seminars at our website, One Eye Store, and we do want to talk a little bit later on in the hour about how you can talk to Dr. Allen if you can't come to the seminar, which is really a convenient thing. So, Dr. Allen, did you have a class this weekend?
Last weekend, yes, on addictions. It was wonderful.
Oh, really?
It was wonderful, yes.
Were you teaching that, or was somebody else teaching that one? Oh, we got caller on. I'm sorry.
I teach all of them.
Awesome. I know you were out. I knew you were at a seminar, though, for yourself. Anyway, we've got a caller. Let's go there. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. Should I give some background first?
Well, probably a little bit, yeah.
Okay, so, should I give you the background or should I tell Dr. Pat?
You know what, we're both here with you on the air.
Oh, got it, okay, got it. So I'm a 32-year-old woman with a career seeking a committed monogamous relationship with a man who cherishes me and whom I respect. I was engaged to my college boyfriend for a long time since college and have been single for about a year. I dated a bit in the beginning of the year, but then took a break to focus on myself. And then starting early this year, I put myself back out there attempting to apply your rules. The second man who asked me out sounded...
They're not rules. I didn't create them. Everything I teach is based on science. Or as Einstein said, it's not philosophy, it's physics.
Well, I know that they work. I've seen them work. They worked on my friends. I'm confident that they could work on me. I'm having a really hard time keeping my yang mouth shut, though. And
maybe you want the yin man.
No, I had a yin man for 10 years, and it made me so unhappy. So now I'm definitely after an alpha who's a better alpha than me.
Well, you can't be after him. He's got to be after you.
He's got to be after me, and that's that's the rub here. So
but that means you've got to be flirting and signaling him that you're available. It's called presentation in the animal kingdom.
Okay.
Are you presenting?
Well, I have been through... Yes, yes. I am presenting my availability. And when I present it, it's effective. I've been lining up dates, no problem. And I've been, I'm duty dating, but, second man who asked me out sounded and looked amazing in his profile. He asked me to join him at a dance class. And when I arrived, didn't quite look like his photos. He was attractive, but, definitely had something wrong with his face. And I'm a woman who chooses with her ears rather than her eyes, so that didn't attract me in any way, shape, or form. And the minute we started dancing, the chemistry was unparalleled. He seemed genuinely excited as well. So we spent 10 hours together that night. He was intelligent, charming, affectionate. He attempted to convince me to go back to his place. I held strong against it. He asked me to go to dinner with him the following night. I agreed. However, he had plans the next day, and he had gone hiking. He was tired, and so he attempted to push dinner to drink, or he pushed dinner to drinks. I said, no problem. And then he, like, as the evening progressed, I feel like I got the sense he wanted me to either come over to his place or reschedule. I gave him a way out, but he said he's really tired, but he's trying to rally. My response was, sounds like you're exhausted. Maybe you should rest. And he called me immediately in response to that text. He picked up the phone and called. He basically just said he really wanted to see me. He just wanted to see what I wanted to do. But let's get drinks. So we agreed. He asked me to recommend a place. So I recommended a place, or I gave him several options. He picked a place. I met him there. We danced and again there, and it was nice. We didn't get a chance to talk because it was too loud. By this point I had a red flag about him. I felt like he had misrepresented something and he had significantly misrepresented something in his profile. About his employment. He hadn't been at the job that he advertised he was at for 3 years. But he had been honest in person when I asked him about his job. He said, oh, I don't work there anymore. I do this now. But he was very vague and unclear about it.
Okay.
So after drinks, he rather forcefully, I'm going to say, not like he convinced me he basically got me in an Uber with him. And, under the agreement that it's on the way, I'll get a ride from his place and this way we could keep talking. So once at his place, he tried to convince me to come upstairs and I was adamant about not coming upstairs. We argued for 20 minutes. And he finally
gives me tons of details, but you're not giving me a question.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this is the end of the story. I basically come upstairs. I made the mistake of coming upstairs with him. Felt like my lines had been crossed.
Did he rape you?
No, not at all. He didn't.
Well, that's a mistake.
No. He did not rape me in any way, shape, or form. He was affectionate and wonderful. I felt like I had crossed my own line. And I found myself in a position, like, I didn't want to be in his apartment I didn't want to be there in that moment, in that state. I feel like I had given up my power to him pretty much and had nothing.
Well, of course you had. You were patient, passive, and vulnerable. Yes, you had. You had trusted him. You had given him a benefit of the doubt. What's wrong with that? How did he betray you?
Well, he said I was just coming up for tea, and next thing I knew, we were, passing my comfort level.
You mean you didn't stop him?
I did, and then he would come back to it. And when I stopped him, finally,
that's perseverance.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, what I'm hearing
and when I stopped him,
you wanted
he did
him
stop.
To not go for what he wanted. Rather than say, go
for it.
Yeah, I
wanted him to respect. Yeah.
You wanted him to respect. That's right. Why would I?
Well, I technically wanted him to cherish my feelings. I had communicated to him what my standards
were. Did you tell him your feelings? Did you say, oops, we're going too far. I'm not comfortable. So I can either go home or you'll stop. Did you set boundaries around his behavior? All right.
I didn't.
That's your mistake.
It was my mistake. I take full responsibility. It was my mistake. And then
after we stopped,
I snapped at him and accused him of being dishonest.
What's the question other than, what do I do when I'm going male?
Well, the question is, if there's, he obviously didn't like it. He didn't like how
things
played out.
Why would he like it?
And the next day sent me a rejection, a very polite rejection, basically saying that after what he saw and heard, he didn't feel comfortable moving forward. And I guess my question is it salvageable?
If you want to write a hi-bye letter.
I already did. I did it the next day, basically apologizing for my behavior and for disrespecting him.
All right.
And falling on my sword.
Has he had 8 weeks to think of forgiving you?
No, it's been 2.
So he's got 6 weeks to go to miss you.
Okay, well, so my next, my question is, is it okay if I go back to the salsa class that we went to with friends, or should I not?
Wait a minute. To
like
ask him to go back as friends?
No. Sorry. Is it okay?
Wait a minute. You're not.
He took me to a class, a dance class, at a studio that I really liked. Can I go back there even if he's there?
Yes, absolutely. You've already apologized for your masculine mommying mistake. You have a right to go wherever you want to go.
And it's not an active, I don't want him to get the wrong impression or think that I'm chasing him.
I
don't want to chase him.
What you're doing again is controlling his brain. Do you understand you got mad at him that he didn't psych out? There's 4 signs of a loser in communication. One is evasiveness. You don't give details. The second one is you require mind reading. He should have mind read that I was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
he's not going to mind read. He's going after what he wants. The third thing is condescending. You men are all the same. And the fourth thing is abrupt. No. Yes. Go away. So I want you to understand that you've got to use my tools. Men are extremely sensitive. And we are really tough inside. Woman's soul is the animus, masculine. The masculine soul is the anima. Men only feel good when they're respected by the women they're pursuing. Women only do good when they know how to set their boundaries based on their comfort zone and stand up for them. So you went helpless with him and blamed him, you see? And he rejected you. That's the way the game plays. But go back where you like that place. It's a dance club? What is it?
It's a dance school.
Okay, so go back to the dance school. Why would you not go there?
Well, what if he's there? It'll be awkward.
Well, what's that got to
do? I don't know.
What's that got to do with him? He's already rejected you. If he changes his mind based on your apology, your admission of mistake, that's just round 2 of learning a lesson on how to be with the man and not be the man.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying.
Remember the tools. Don't ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Always ask him what he thinks and wants. Second tool, when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him, you must make an appointment. I have something to say about what's happening here. Is it convenient for you to hear me? Yeah. I'm uncomfortable with the pursuing that you're doing because I'm uncomfortable. So are you willing to slow down and hold back a little bit. Third tool, fighting with him. You have every right to go after what you want, but I'm signaling you that it's going too fast, too far. Will you back down? Fourth tool, I sense, I think, I believe by the tone of your voice, look on your face, your body language, that you're upset with me or something. Am I right? Yes. Would it be convenient for you to tell me? Oh, you don't like me controlling. Oh, I got it. Fifth tool, time out, hand signal or verbiage. So you've vacillated between helpless, helpless, and moxie lady, but you weren't a lady who could speak your language about your feelings. But you did when you made your amends. He didn't want to give you a second chance, and that's his problem. You have a right to go wherever you went with him to enjoy whatever's there.
Okay, so I also happen to know that his birthday is at the end of the month. Could I wish him a happy birthday?
Do a ritual? Do you want to do a ritual card, a ritual email?
I was thinking of like a text, but...
You're thinking of a what?
Sending him a text message on his birthday?
Yes. But would it be personal?
Is that appropriate? Should
it be not
personal?
Appropriate for you to go into a courtship phase. It would be okay to do bunny rabbits and happy birthday.
Well, I was just thinking of a happy birthday.
What?
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of just saying happy birthday and leaving it at that.
That's
letting
fine,
him know that I'm thinking of him.
You can't court him. That's why I was worried about a text to him. That sounds like a love letter.
Oh, no. So just, I it would honestly be just the two words, happy birthday. But
it would be,
I don't,
it would
I also
be very
don't
simple. Very simple and not you chasing him.
So you don't feel like it's me chasing him if I send that?
No, if it's a ritual. A ritual is something you say that's simple, not romantic, but friendly on a special occasion. Holidays, birthdays.
Okay.
You obviously still want him, even though you didn't act like it.
I know. I was scared and freaked out in the moment. I was out of my comfort zone.
I know, but now you have to go back into the field and do it better.
I am. I'm legitimately duty dating. I'm dating lots of people.
All right. Okay. So
experiencing. So
did you get your questions answered?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Dr. Allen.
What?
Staying in the feminine, a lot of the callers have that issue.
I know that because today's world is promoting equality. Men get to be women and women get to be men and everybody's so equal that you can't waltz. All you can do is disco or slam dance.
Yeah, and that is not really relationship material, is it?
No. So I want whoever's listening to decide if they want to be respected for their thoughts and behaviors, or they want to be cherished for their feelings. If you want to be respected, then lead. Tell your partner, straight, gay, or lesbian, I really want this. How do you feel about us doing it?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be cherished, you say, I'm not too happy with this. What do you think about doing it this other way? You see what I mean?
I do.
Complementary communication. My doctoral work is androgynous semantic realignment. I move the quantum mechanical elements of words in such a way that it impacts the quantum physical energy that goes between people, straight, gay, or lesbian.
Indeed. It's true. And that's a really interesting point you make about communication. And, you know, we've talked before about it. I want to bring it up again because we've got several people that have sent messages asking about it. Yeah. What happens when one party, okay, this is a actually, you know, like a May-December romance, apparently. Older man, younger woman. But there's been, when they first got together 10 years, he was not perianthropause, but he's shifted now. And
yes, he is.
The young bride is having a difficult time adjusting to that. So adjusting to him being more feeling-centered and him not being like the alpha he was when he was running the businesses that he was, you know, he's retired.
10 to 15 years older is very, very successful when it comes to divorcing, as long as the woman understands that a mature man from 45, 55, he's starting to become less testosterone, more estrogen, and feeling-centered. He needs to be respected even more.
Yes.
Than before. And an older man has what?
She's asking, how does she adjust using the tools? Because she loves
the tools. Using the tools, if she's with a mature man who's 10 to 15 years older, mm-hmm. she's probably with him because he's status-oriented and financially stable.
Right, gotcha.
We're all trying to either get laid or paid. The book on that is The Evolution of Desire, David Buss, based on the Harvard study that said, 2/3 of men want sensual and sexual stability. Mm-hmm. 1/3 want status and financial. They want to be married to somebody who's got money.
Gotcha.
2/3 of women want sensual and sexual status and security. 1/3 of women want sensual and sexual stability. They're called cougars.
Right.
So as women get older, they want more sensual and sexual, and older men very often are not up for it, to be very blunt. Older men are much more sensitive, and therefore both the older man and the younger women are both sensitive human beings. And they've got to remember that when they get into a touchy situation, go back to respecting him and cherishing her. But equality in a communication system can be disastrous, especially when you're with alphas.
Exactly.
Both of them are brainy, and both of them have sensitive feelings.
Exactly. We have a caller on.
Okay, let's get a caller on the phone.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen. I've called in a few times before. Hi. So my question has to do with, you know, you always suggest following a man's lead. And I read in your book, Staying Married and Loving It, is to kind of let the man decide on financial matters. So my husband, you know, wants to make a big purchase, and it's not going to hurt us. But it's not, it wouldn't be something that I would do.
Understand
and I just
that,
don't...
but are you, wait a minute, what kind of marriage do you have? Do you have a convenience where you're both equal? Do you have a codependent where one person gets respect and cherishing and the other gets nothing? Do you have a covenant where one person is a breadwinner and one person's responsibility is homemaking? What style of marriage do you have?
The first one, the convenient. So we both work. Yeah, I mean, he makes a lot more money than I do, but we both work.
Therefore, does he want respect for the fact that he's contributing? You have a modified covenant. Are you respecting him?
Well, that's where I'm getting confused. I mean, if I don't think it's the best financial decision, do I go with it? I mean, it's not going to destroy us financially, but
what you do is you make an appointment to share your feelings with him.
I did, and he said, "Don't worry. I will not do anything to hurt us. I will, I think this is the best decision, and I really want to, do it. I need you to just trust me, and just sit back. He tells me just sit back and relax. You live life, and I'll be the one in charge of, getting it so you can be comfortable.
Let reality teach him, not you." If you teach him, your mother.
Right. That's what I'm afraid of. Okay.
Then why don't you let him learn by his mistakes?
Okay.
Is he
going to
do something immoral, unethical?
No. I mean, he's just going to... He just wants to buy a trailer, a camping trailer, and, a new one, and it's a lot of money.
I understand. So why don't you divorce him and go buy whatever you want?
No.
You know what you're doing? You're becoming competitive with your husband, not a partner. I've never seen plane that had two pilots.
Okay, well, I just get confused when it comes to financial decisions because he has made some decisions in the past that weren't very wise and it took us time to get out of it. So I don't know what my role is. Do I say, oh, no, that's not a good idea?
Listen, wait a minute. What you say is, you have every right to want to buy the trailer. I'm not comfortable with it, but I respect you and I appreciate your promise to take care of us. So I'm going to be your partner.
Okay. That's what I did, and it felt good in the moment.
No, it feels good permanently because if you don't do it, you're starting to get a divorce.
Okay. All right. So I did well.
You did well according to nature. But you want to be the boss. And that means we have to castrate him.
No, I don't want to do that. I like how we have our setup.
But you have the right to share your feelings.
And I did. And it went, I felt good sharing them because I didn't want to hold it in.
I love it. Okay. I love what you're saying to me because this is how partnerships. Raise your right hand.
Yes.
I promise. On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect my husband. Even when I think at times I'm smarter.
Even when I think at times I'm smarter.
Furthermore.
I promise.
To keep my teachy-preachy mouth yang shut.
To keep my preachy mouth yang shut.
Unless I have to call the police. A doctor, or a lawyer to sue him for divorce and get my money back. Got it?
Okay. Got it. Can I ask one more quick question?
You did good.
Yes.
I guess so.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm sure lots of women, it comes up.
It's okay.
What do you do when you find out, your husband's paid for a porn site, but you guys have a really good and healthy sex life?
Well, does he have the porn site on your home TV?
No. I happened to go through his business account because I was balancing the books and I saw it and I got really upset, but it doesn't really, I mean, we're very emotionally connected. He's an amazing man. We have a great sex life. So, I mean,
There's only one problem. Human beings are not created monogamously.
Okay.
Men voluntarily, God willing, give up their right to be polygamous, especially if the woman requires it, but they long for diversification.
Okay.
Of the people on the planet, 50% of men would love to have more than one woman. For women, it's like 43%. Humans are not naturally monogamous. And there's a wonderful book called The Myth of Monogamy. And one of the authors is Barish. We are not monogamous by nature. Some of us are more polyamorous than others. But as long as he doesn't touch other people, it's not moral, ethical, and legal.
Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to know, because I want to let it go, and I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I don't know, it still feels a little uncomfortable.
I know, but being his mother is going to feel worse.
Okay, thank you, as always. I listen and follow your work, and that's how
welcome.
I ended up getting married.
I understand that.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right, bye.
Welcome. Bye.
That's a rough one. We have several other women who've talked about their mate.
That's the nature of human beings.
Well,
the joke is, aren't penguins monogamous for one season at a time? Sit on the eggs and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
People think that they're really monogamous. I got news for you. Mammals are not monogamous.
The voicemail box of...
What?
Radio's trying to put our callers on, but they're not answering their phone. We've talked about this before. At any rate...
Hello, this is Seth.
Hi, this is Kelly and Dr. Pat Allen on the air live. Would you like to ask a question?
Hi, Dr. Pat. I want to thank you so much for all your work. And
Thank you for saying so, but I'm not working. I'm having fun. You know, if what you do is what you like to do, you never work, ever.
Thanks for having fun.
I'm having fun. What can I do for you?
I am 64. Started dating 3 months ago, a 67-year-old man.
Yay!
Thank you. He's a wonderful man. He's an artist and has done a lot of personal growth. He talks about his feelings kind of frequently. He's a male. 67.
He's right in the middle of andropause. His testosterone is down, and the estrogen that's been in his body is really impacting. Remember this. Grandpa's nicer than Dad, and Grandma is meaner than Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all shift into our second suit. Women become men, and men become women. So we all get to experience being female and male.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's definitely the male in our relationship, and he will also, you know, air his fears and things like that with me.
I know, because he can access both his right lobe and his left lobe in his head.
He can.
There's a lot more equality in the 50 to 60-year-old relationship. I've done some CD work. The over 50 relationship can be gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now what?
Well, should I ever ask him about his feelings? Or will
only,
that decrease?
Here's what you do. Listen, I thank you for asking me. If he says, I don't feel very good today, you say to him, what can I do to help you and I feel better? Let him lead with a thought or a feeling. But when you're 50 to 60 years old, both of you want respect and both of you want to be cherished. So whoever talks feelings, you can ask him, what can I do to help us feel better? If you talk thinking, what can I do to help us do better? This is different than the under 45, because under 45, he's gushing testosterone, and you're on estrogen. So that's when you predominantly respect him, and he predominantly cherishes you. But that's not the same between 45 and 65. That's when we switch roles. But we don't switch totally. What we do is we become very androgynous, both thinking and feelings.
And so I'm letting him lead, of course, and if he leads with the feeling, I can say, what can I do to help us to
feel better.
And if he's leading
with his thinking,
what can I
do to help us do better? Now, when he asks you what you think and you don't want to be in your male, then you say what you feel.
Okay. I'm doing my best to stay in my female.
Then, you know what? That's not a bad idea, because men generally don't study my work as much as women do, and we use 5,000 words to their 2,500. You see what I mean? So I have no problem with women respecting their men always, except when the man says, you never ask me about my feelings. And that may be a man who needs an equitable amount of cherishing and respect. But that doesn't mean you have to be both male and female. We all have control over our language systems. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, for they become your character. Beware of your character, for it becomes your destiny at work and in loving relationships, especially mating and marrying. You got that?
Thank you. Would you recommend then that I never ask him about his feelings unless he asks me to?
Unless he flags you by talking about his pain.
Okay.
And then you say, what can I do to help us feel better?
To help
us
feel better.
But he's got to signal. Don't ask him on a regular day how he feels. That's
right.
When I would rather you respected him. What do you think? What do you want to do? What's your opinion? What's your suggestion? What can I do? But when he talks about his feelings, now, if there are any men listening, if your wife is peri or postmenopausal, she's going to come up with ideas and she's going to come up with feelings. So track her. If she says what she thinks, ask her what you can do to help the two of you do better. If she talks about how she doesn't feel good, ask her what you can do to help you and she feel better. But this is for the over 50 relationship, basically.
Thank you. Very, very helpful.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I got to teach that.
Thanks, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller. Okay, so that is our over 50 step. You have a wonderful CD set regarding that at the Want I store. And I want to point out to everybody that we have great seminars. Hi, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. So I called a couple of weeks ago. I was going on a date, or a guy had asked me on a date. And since then, been dating me for a couple of weeks now. And this weekend, he came over to watch a movie, and he asked for sex, and I gave him the whole thing about 3 months and the chemical bonding and that whole thing. And,
Did you tell him what it would take to make love? Did you tell him, I'm not having casual sex, I want to make love? So are you ready to be monogamous? Are you ready to set up a continuous dating, talking relationship? And are you aiming towards marriage or not?
Yes, I want marriage. Okay.
And are you open to the idea of getting married? You got to get those answers before you have intercourse.
Yes.
Casual sex is addictive promoting. I just did a class on that. What?
Right. So I didn't quite get into the details about marriage and monogamy. I put it more like, I won't have intercourse with him until there's a commitment. And so
a commitment is oral. A commitment is write a contract. A commitment is marriage. See, you were being evasive, but evasive is not negotiation. Evasive is wishy-washy. So what did he say when you gave him your vague message?
Well, he said that he doesn't know if he's ready to commit to me, but he understands and he's willing to wait.
Good. Therefore, you have won your point. He's going to date you until either you're ready to stop dating other people, that's monogamy, you're ready to basically see him on a regular basis, and you're ready to start building towards a legal marriage in a year.
So I guess the question I had was, when would be, a good time to have that conversation again?
When he asks for sex. Usually what men do is they ask you to stop dating other men. Stop dating. Get off the website. That's often the first thing. Then they ask for, I want to sleep with you, or I want to have sex with you or something. And then you say, thank you for being attracted. I want to make love, and I don't have casual sex. So are you ready to be monogamous, to build a contract of meeting each other and working towards marriage in a year?
So I have a question about that. He came over again yesterday, and again,
and
we did not have
yesterday.
Yesterday we were just talking, and then we started making out, but no clothes came off, no intercourse, none of that.
All I care about is this penis going in your mouth, anus, or vagina? Everything else is affection.
Okay. But if he was to ask for sex again, then that's when I ask him.
Wait a minute. Sex is everything you... Wait. Sex is everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. There's a sexual part to everything that our bodies experience. I'm talking about intercourse as the special form of making love.
Right.
You see, so separate sex from making love. They're two different operations.
Okay. I have noticed, though, that he, since we had the whole conversation about not having intercourse, like his communication has decreased. You know, before he would call or text me and we would, you know, kind of keep in touch throughout the day. But then
if he contacts you once a week, he's in the international norm.
Oh, okay.
Salesmanship is not impressing me. If you're with him physically, that's your mm-hmm. body's loving you. What?
No, nothing.
If your body enjoys being near his body, that's chemistry. He wants to, men like to make love. Well, they even like to have sex. You see? And so,
right.
Talking is fine, but it's what you say that counts, not how much talk you do.
Okay.
Is he calling?
Then, sorry?
I can't get my words in. Is he calling you or seeing you at least once a week?
Yes.
Then that's the minimum. Now let's see if he wants to build a relationship with you.
All right, I'll wait for that. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
You're
caller.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Yep, thanks. Bye.
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 So I started to mention our... blah, 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 blah. I started to mention our One Eye Store where our seminars set, where you can sign up and have those seminars, join those seminars. They're live and they're in person. And they're very limited seating. The seating is limited to 6 people only because Dr. Allen really likes to work very intimately with people.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's so important that you understand, we understand that you can't always make it here to Orange County. And I know a lot of people fly, and we've got a lady who's come in from London, someone from New York, somebody from Australia, and we love
lady
that.
You came from Australia recently.
Yeah, we love that you guys come, but we do understand that it is not always easy. That's why Dr. Allen offers telephone appointments, and she offers those telephone appointments for really anything that you need help with. But she does offer very specific appointments for dreams, and very specific appointments for life script. I really encourage you to look at what the seminar is on the One Eye Store page. And when you see what it's about, you can know that you can have a special appointment with Dr. Allen to do your life script. And you can have a special appointment with Dr. Allen to do dream work. Now, we don't do dream work on the radio for a couple of reasons. But it's pretty darn amazing. And Dr. Allen, could you just give us a little capsule of your live script appointment?
Well, I'm a transactional analyst. Derek Byrne took Sigmund Freud and made him simple. And he said that there's only 3 ways we relate to people. We either intimidate them with fear, or we seduce them with guilt, or we negotiate with love. Now, from the time we're 6 months in uterus, we are picking up messages, verbal and nonverbal, from mommy's body, then from daddy's body when they're born, then brothers, sisters, teachers, you know, religions, whatever. Mm-hmm. And those scriptings, Claude Steiner wrote a great book, Scripts People Live, if you want to read about scripting. But I read scripts. What have you been programmed to be? An intimidator, a seducer, or a negotiator? If you've been intimidator, or a seducer, I teach you how to negotiate.
Exactly.
So it's reading your script.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. And what Dr. Allen offers is a 1-hour special appointment to read scripts. And also, I want to encourage you, anything you need to talk about, Dr. Allen starts appointments on the phone for 15 minutes. The live script is 1-hour class, 1-hour phone appointment. And the dreams vary. So I encourage you to go to the website, www.drpatallen.com. You can get more information there. If you want information about appointments, you're going to send an email to info@drpatallen.com. And our website has all of our telephone numbers and everything you need to get through to the office, get through to Sue Wagner, book an appointment so you can talk to Dr. Allen on the phone. And again, I encourage you, our seminars are up on the Want iStore page, a wonderful page to explore. You'll have a ball. Dr. Allen's new book is there, shining out of the darkness. It's a man's world and a woman's universe. So check those things out. Dr. Allen, before we go, what do you have to say?
What I have to say is the same old, same old. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Beautiful. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Until then, be safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.